Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
And good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt. So glad that you would take your Sunday morning, take time out to join us for Every Nation Church New Jersey. And listen, I hope you have your cup of joe and your Bible with you here this morning, because we're getting into the Word of God, the book of Matthew. Just to be transparent and honest, my coffee cup is a prop this morning. All right, it's going to actually help me lead in to where I want to go. See, it's a prop, it's a fake. So I don't know if you've ever had this before, where it's like if you've ever gone to the grocery store. And so recently I went to the grocery store. It's what I do. I'm a man. I bring home food for my family, like hunters. And I remember going to the grocery store and, you know, picked up a few things. And as I was checking out, you know, I remember I gave the checkout guy, I gave him, a bill. Like, it was like a $50 bill or something like that. And then he took the bill and he rather overzealously began to snap it, look at it, twist it around. And then he looks at me, and what does he do? He gets one of those marker things, and he starts seeing if it's legit. And then he's like, and then he gave me back my change back. And here's what, like, I wanted to take the change that he gave me and just be like, hey, brother, can I borrow your pen? And but listen, I know what the dude was trying to do. He's trying to see if it was legit, right? If it was the real deal. And so today in our text, Jesus is going to see if we are legit followers of Christ, if we are fakes or frauds. Jesus is going to call them the hypocrites. It's fascinating. You know, in the first century, the term hypocrite wasn't a bad derogatory term. It actually was the term for actors. It literally means to play a role, to put on a mask. And so listen, if you're trying to play a role for people, to entertain them, that's one thing. But if you're trying to play a role for people and for God to deceive them, then that's a totally different thing. And that's what Jesus calls this group of people in our text today, the hypocrites. And so if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be going through verses 1 through 18. And so, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, it begins with a warning, a strict warning. Jesus is going to say, beware. And so we need to pay attention to dial in to that. And so Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1, Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you'll have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. And so we see this, that Jesus immediately starts with a warning. He says, beware that you do the right things for the right reasons. Jesus is saying here, you're going to practice righteousness. In other words, righteousness is a good thing, but if your motive is off, then a good thing becomes a bad thing. It becomes hypocrisy. And Jesus is going to say, beware, beware. And so in our text today, the remainder of our text, Jesus is going to rattle off three acts of righteousness that we all should partake of. He's going to talk about giving to the poor. He's going to talk about prayer, and he's going to talk about fasting. All these things that we should do, but we should do them to love God and to love people, not to try to fool God and fool people into thinking we're more holy and we're more loving than we actually are. And so, but here's, if I was to shoot you straight here this morning, the thing I think that I'm most terrified of is, I don't know what is more alarming, the hypocrite that we're going to read about today, or if we fast forward from this text to thousands of years forward to our day today, is I don't know what is more alarming and terrifying, is religious hypocrisy or what we find today, indifference and apathy. See, at least back in the first century, Jesus is referencing a group of people that would do right things and try to act righteously, despite the fact that their hearts didn't align with their actions. But today, we're too lazy even to do that. And so I'll just share a story. I had to do a wedding in Connecticut. And so this wedding, the day before, you know, I drove to Connecticut, and the night before we were doing the rehearsal. And so just a little backstory is my hockey playing days, I kind of lost some of my front teeth. And so I got the fake ones in here. But as I was getting some dental work done, one of my teeth fell out. And so I had to go rush to the dentist, and I'm doing this stuff. So I go to this poor girl's rehearsal with no front tooth. And so I'm trying like not to really talk too much, but then I had to flash the chiclets right there. And I got, here I am, no tooth. And I promised her, I was like, I promise I'm going to get a temporary made, and I'll have it for the wedding tomorrow. And so I'm praying, please God, let the temporary be ready. And sure enough, we did. And I had all my teeth in for the wedding. And he said, I do. She said, I do. And it was beautiful. And then we immediately proceeded over to the reception. And it was there at the reception before dinner that all the people were mingling in the bar area. And so I was just kind of hanging out. And I used to play hockey for the Hartford Whalers right there in Connecticut. And so a few of the people at the wedding started talking hockey with me and all this stuff. And a crowd began to gather around us, a crowd of dudes. And anyways, this one guy says, oh, you're a pastor now, huh? He says, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a spiritual guy. I'm a Christian. I don't really read my Bible. I never go to church, and I never pray. He goes, but you know what? Everyone leans in. God knows my heart. And in that moment, there was a collective, yeah. And what I wanted to do was rip my teeth out and then beat him over the head with my Bible and say, yeah, God does know your heart. It's wicked. You're the one who's deceived. You don't know your own heart. You fooled yourself. You've not just tried to fool people, but you fooled yourself into believing you have a relationship with Almighty God. Jesus says you're gonna know a tree by its fruit, right? And so, in our text today, we're gonna read about religious hypocrites doing external things, but their heart didn't line up. Matthew 6. We'll read verses 2-4. Jesus says this, he says, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so I love this. So much going on in this text. And I love how it starts out. Jesus says, hey, when you give to the poor, in other words, there's an expectation on the follower of Christ that, of course, we are going to be generous. We're going to give and help the poor and the needy. But Jesus says, when you do it, don't sound the trumpets. And here's the, I love this. We see a little bit of the character of Jesus, that term, like, don't sound the, he's like, hey, when you give your offering, don't be like, burr, 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 burr. Check me out, people. Here's what I'm doing, right? He says, don't do that. In fact, that when he says, don't sound the trumpets, it's actually where we get the saying, hey, don't toot your own horn. We got that from Jesus in Matthew 6. So he's saying, hey, don't make a spectacle of yourself. He said, Jesus says, hey, you've received your reward. You've got what you wanted through your giving. There's a man, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He's known as the Prince of Preachers. And Spurgeon, he tells this epic parable story of a gardener and a nobleman. And he tells the story of this great king, benevolent king, who the people loved. And there was a simple gardener, had a small plot of land, but he was precise and excellent in what he did. And he produced this enormous, beautiful, pristine carrot. And he, the moment he saw it, he says, this is fit for my king. And he brought the carrot. He laid it at the king's feet. And he says, king, this is the finest carrot I can grow, and I give it to you. And it says this, that the king could discern the gardener's heart, that it was pure. And he says, before you leave, because you care so much about gardening and people, he says, I'm going to give you hundreds of acres of land for your very own. Well, there was a nobleman in the crowd, and seeing this, he's like, if that's what you get for a carrot, what would you give for an even greater gift? And so the nobleman went home And he got his finest black steed, this beautiful horse, and he brought the horse into the presence of the king. And he says, King, I raise horses, and this black steed is the finest of my horses, and I give this steed to you. And it says again that the king was discerning, and the king took the beautiful horse. He said, thank you, and he dismissed the nobleman. And just before the nobleman could leave, he actually, here's the quote that the king says. He says, the gardener was giving me the carrot, but you were giving yourself the horse. See, it was the motive behind the giving. And so Jesus doesn't want to just change what we do. He wants to change why we do it, the motive, why we do things. I'm reminded of the story of Saint Nick. Yes, Santa Claus. Kids, if you're watching this, you tell mom and dad, I knew he was real. Because St. Nicholas was an actual person back in medieval times. St. Nicholas of Myra was his name. And the as church tradition would have it, Nicholas, you want to know why that Santa Claus comes at night? Is because church tradition tells us this, that St. Nicholas, as a young boy, when he saw families in need, he would sneak out at night and he would throw in gold coins into their house, until one night a man found him, caught Nicholas, and he says, what are you doing? And he says, I'm helping you. And he says, why aren't you making yourself known? And here's this classic quote from Saint Nicholas. He says, sometimes people should give and have only God know, and have only God know. And so Jesus is saying here, highlighting the fact, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, but do it in secret. And so if you're asking yourself, like Jesus, why all this secrecy and stuff like this? And here's what I think, and I heard this the other day, and I thought it was such a mic drop moment, is that we're most like God when we give things and help people in secret. Because God is a God who not only sees in secret, but he moves in secret. Let me share Martin Luther, the great German Protestant reformer. And Luther, he wrote a piece he just called The Masks of God. And I want to read a portion of this, The Masks of God. Luther says this, God could easily give you grain and fruit without your plowing and planting, but he does not want to do so. What else is all our work to God, whether in the fields, in the garden, in the city, in the house, in war or in government, but just such a child's performance by which he wants to give his gifts in the fields, at home, and everywhere else? These are all the masks of God, behind which he wants to remain concealed and do all things. So let me try and unpack that for us. Is what Luther is saying is this, is that God, listen, he can just give to us point blank, or he can put on these masks, the masks of other people, and be generous to us through people. And so God could make it rain bread from heaven, or we've seen him do that, or he can make it, he can give us bread from Calandra's Bakery, right? This past week was exceedingly hot. I'm just hate the heat. All right. It was so hot. And you know, God in his goodness, he's given each of us between 2 to 4 million sweat glands in our body. What? To help cool us down. And you know, he's even given, like, you know, your eyebrows, that they actually move water and sweat away from your eye. Like, cause God didn't want sweat to get into your eye. And so God can do all that stuff directly. Or you know what else he can do? He can create a human being that creates air conditioning. He can create a place called Home Depot and a guy that sells it, and you can get air conditioning and put it in your home. See, both of them, see, are God blessing you by cooling you down. See, the bread man and the hardware store guy, they're just masks of God, masks whereby God is able to bless his people. And do you know this? That when you help people, that what you're actually doing, you're becoming the very mask of God, the mask that God puts on to bless and to love the world. And so I read a fascinating story not long ago. Do you know L. Frank Baum? He's the author of the classic novel The Wizard of Oz. And do you know that Frank Baum, he died some 30 years before the classic film was shot. And so as they're casting and getting all the costumes ready for this iconic film, The Wizard of Oz, the costume director realized that The Wizard of Oz, he needed a suit jacket that was vintage, that didn't look too beat up, but it didn't look too new as well. And so they went to a nearby thrift store, and as they were thumbing through these different things, they picked up this one suit coat that looked like The Wizard of Oz. He brought it, and he gave it to the man, and they filmed and all that. And unbeknownst to the costume director, that when they opened up the suit jacket they had got at this thrift store, the embroidered on the inside was L. Frank Baum. See, they had actually, he was, the Wizard of Oz was wearing the creator, the author's very own jacket. And then when you and I, when we love people and bless them in secret, that you and I, we're actually, we become the hands and the feet of Almighty God in the earth. In fact, the scripture would say this, when we're baptized into Christ, we put Jesus Christ on like a garment. We have his righteousness, but now we have his mission as well, to love God and to love people. Let's go on. It says in Matthew chapter 6, we'll read verses 5 through 6. It says this, verse 5, and when you pray, and so the Bible assumes that we're going to pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so I can remember my first audible prayer, where I prayed out loud in front of people. Can you remember that? Listen, I know some of you can't because you're still too terrified to do it, but listen, I understand that a little bit. And so I remember I was, I must have been like 15 years old in youth group. And I was kind of a new Christian, but there were some hot girls in youth, so I was going to go there. And I remember the youth leader made us like all get in a circle and we'd hold hands. And which it was okay because the girl next to me was cute, right? And then we were going to go around and then you'd pray a prayer out loud and then squeeze the next person's hand. It was their sign that they were to go. And I was like, oh no, they're going to make us pray out loud. Terror struck me. But I was like, no, I can do this. I can do this. And so I'm trying to think of this elegant prayer that I can pray in front of everybody. And just before it was my turn, the girl prayed my prayer. And so I remember she squeezes my hands and then I'm like, she took mine. Squeeze the person next to me. So my first audible prayer was a little bit of a gong show. But this is Jesus's big idea is that we don't pray to impress people. We've all seen that person, right? Praying to impress people, like all of a sudden people use Elizabethan English. And in fact, I'm reminded I had one prayer time with a man I deeply respect, a prayer warrior. And I don't want to give his name away, Shino Prater, but I was praying with him at one point. And as we were praying together, all of a sudden Shino lets out a, I beseech thee, dear sir. And I'm like, beseech thee? Bro, did we just get transported to London? Like, have you been binge watching The Crown or what? Beseech thee, dear sir. And so I had to bust his chops a little bit about that one. But the big thing Jesus is saying, are you praying to impress people or to talk to God? Or to talk to God? See, prayer is nothing but talking to your Heavenly Father. You know, Lyndon B. Johnson, his press secretary was a man by the name of Bill Moyers, and Johnson invited Bill Moyers and with a bunch of other people to have a dinner at the White House, and President Johnson he asked press secretary Moyers if he would please lead in saying grace and praying over the food, and then Moyers he just began to mumble a little bit and nobody could hear him, and so Johnson yells across the table, he's like, Bill, speak up. We can't hear you. And I love just so matter-of-factly, Moyers replied, Mr. President, I'm sorry. I wasn't speaking to you. So perfect, because prayer is talking to God. But Jesus says it's the hypocrites that are trying to put on a performance for people. But Christ followers, man, they pray and they talk to God. And I love in this section, I don't know if you caught this, this really moved me this week, is the fact that we have a God who sees. Like that God, he sees us always and everywhere. I can remember, let me come back with me in time to 1984. Are you with me? 1984. I was 15 years old. For those of you interested, my wife was 16. She's considerably older than me. And in 1984, people were wearing pinstripe jeans. The miniskirt was in, and dudes were wearing parachute pants. And if you don't know what parachute pants are, good for you, because they're ridiculous, right? And but in 1984, there was this song that was racing up the charts. And it was written by a relative unknown dude by the name of Rockwell. And I was reading an article in Rolling Stones magazine and how Rockwell was writing this song. And when he finished the lyrics and the beat, it says he took a moment. Rolling Stone records this. It says that he just begins to pray. And he says this prayer, Father God, he said, please bless this. I will tell the world about you and how you did this for me. And then he released the song you and I would know as this, Somebody's Watching Me. Remember this one? I always feel like somebody's watching me, right? We got that one. Michael Jackson, background vocals, smash hit going on. But the reality is somebody is watching you, and it's not Google or Alexa or the vaccine or your cell phone. That somebody is the God who sees in secret. And Almighty God, he sees it all. And so some of us, we need to get rid of this kind of the sacred secular divide. In other words, you feel like, man, there's some places where God lives and then kind of the rest of this part of my life belongs to me. And so, God, you stay in this compartment in my church, in my small group and these type of things. And then I'm going to live the rest of my life like I want to. And listen, it's all sacred to God. All of your life, all of your time is sacred to God, and he sees all of it. So I can't tell you how many times I'll just be with people and they're just like, man, cussing up a storm or doing this. And then they find out I'm a pastor. And then suddenly it's like, whoop. And then they clean the whole thing up. I'm like, man, I ain't God. But someone is watching you all the time. I always tell the story of I was doing the chapel for the New York Jets, and we were about ready to play the New York Giants. And I remember we took this somber moment before we went out on the field to pray the Lord's Prayer. And there was a hush in the dressing room. And we began to pray in unison. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And as we rolled through the Lord's Prayer, suddenly we said, Amen. And at that moment, then suddenly at the Amen point, the room erupted. And then they started rolling into, we're going to beat these mother effers. We're going to get these F and this and F and that. And I'm like, what in the world? Can we agree that's a big turn from our Father to mother effer, right? That's a big kind of turnaround. And I'm like, hey, guys, you know, God is still here, right? Like God still sees. The moment you say amen, it's like he doesn't tune out at that moment. And so we see that God is a God who sees. And for him, every moment is sacred to him in our life, because you and I we've been designed by God to live a life of worship. And so God sees your work life, your home life, your secret life, all these different things. Carson Wentz, who was with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's now quarterbacking the Indianapolis Colts. And he has this foundation. Wentz is he's a Jesus guy. And he has a nonprofit that he's founded, and the name of it, I love the logo. I think we have an image of it going up here. It's A-O-1, and it stands for an audience of one. And I so love that. I try to live my life by that mantra, that I'm living my life for an audience of one, and that is Almighty God. You know, the Apostle Paul, he's going to say it a little bit different. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That see, Paul's saying this is that now, because Christ died to give us life, now we are living sacrifices. That as we go about our day-to-day life, that now our life is to be a living offering to Almighty God. That life itself becomes worship. In fact, did you know, we touched this a few months back, but in your Old Testament, there's a word, avodah. And that word avodah, it occurs 284 times in your Old Testament. And it's the word for work, but it's also the word for worship. See, work and worship were so intertwined, because whatever we do, it's worship and praise unto God. I love what A.W. Tozer says, and I'll read his quote. Tozer says this. He said, "It's not what a man does that determines whether his work is sacred or secular. It is why he does it. The motive is everything. Let a man sanctify the Lord God in his heart, and he can thereafter do no common act." See, what Tozer is saying here is that whatever we do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not as unto men, and it becomes worship to our God. In fact, man, I've tried to apply this in every area of my life. I'm actually a little bit upset with a guy, Kip Farley, in our church, because we were talking one Sunday, and he was telling me how it drives him crazy how people at the grocery store don't put the carts back where they go. And I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of that guy. I don't do that, but I kind of like kept that in there, right? And now every time I go to the grocery store, I'm so convicted by God to this parking lot's going to be better because I'm here and Christ is in me. And so I'm putting this cart away like this. And how about that? Something stupid like that becomes worship. Man, all the way till I put the cart away, I'm like, Jesus, come on. That's what this is about. It's about worshiping to God. Whatever we do it heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. Jesus continues and he says, "And when you fast," by the way, if you're wondering, hey, we skipped all of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to do that in the next week or two. All right. All by itself. Back to our text. Matthew 6, verse 16. "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And so I got to admit, like fasting, I've always thought is just kind of a bad idea from the Lord. Don't like going without food like that. But it's funny, historically, I would kind of have to explain what fasting is. But it's kind of crazy here in 2021, like fasting's in style, man. It's in vogue. Yeah, I'm doing intermittent fasting or a cleanse. And hey, those are fantastic. They have great physical benefits. All right. But I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about the spiritual discipline of fasting. And see, that is of infinite spiritual value. It's a moment where you do away either a partial fast or a full fast, where you set aside food for a period of time that you might dial into and lean into Almighty God. For the record, our church is going to do its week-long prayer and fasting beginning August 2nd. So have at it through July. But then we're going to take a moment at the start of August, and we're going to pray as we enter in to the fall, into the September months. All right. And so I hope you can join us for that fast. And so anyways, getting back to our text, do you know that Jesus in this moment, in this text, he's actually calling out the Pharisees. Remember, we talked about them a couple weeks back. They were the religious elites, and they just loved just the people to notice how spiritual, how holy and religious they were. In fact, I don't know if you knew this, but in your Old Testament, that for the Jews, they only had one day of fasting that was mandatory, and that was on the Day of Atonement. And then practicing Jews, they had all these feast days where God says, "I want you to feast and to celebrate and to remember." I think that lets you into the heart of God, one fast day, in just weeks and weeks of celebration and fasting, because that's how good God is, and that's how we're to live our life, a life of celebration. But Jesus does say, when you fast. So Pharisees, they would fast twice a week, on the second day of the week and on the fifth day of the week were the days where they would fast. And how ironic was it that that coincided with the days when the temple and the court area where things were sold were the most crowded. See, they wanted to be seen by a maximum amount of people, so they would fast those days. Why? So they could be seen by men. And then here's what's so sad and terrifying, that Jesus says they got what they wanted. You just want the applause of men? Here you go. But that's all you're going to get. And that's a horrible trade, to get the applause of people in exchange for, we read about it, the reward of God. And so it's a horrible trade. You know, historically, there's been real bad exchanges. So can we agree, Ronald Wayne, he was one of the founders of Apple. He sold 10% of his Apple stock for $800. Today, it would be worth $100 billion, I believe it is, $100 billion, that the Boston Red Sox sold Babe Ruth, the great Bambino. They sold him to their rivals, the New York Yankees, for $100,000 and a $300,000 loan that they wanted to finance some cheesy play that went nowhere. Can we agree that's a bad trade? As the Bambino went on for the next 20 years just to haunt the Boston Red Sox. And so, but here, an even more horrible trade is this, that you would exchange the applause of men for the rewards of Almighty God. Listen, people are fickle, man. Like they'll pat you on the back one day and stab you in it the next. And so why would you sacrifice the reward of God for the peer pressure, the applause of people? Listen, you'll exhaust yourself trying to please people. They're finicky and you're never going to do it. But how amazing is God? Like God is so good to us. Listen, he says we're to help the poor. We're to pray. We're to fast. You know, the reality is that blesses us for doing it. Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Not only that, but you know, that sociologist says that something positive happens in your life when you give things away. That prayer and meditation, that it actually raises up your sense of well-being and whatnot. The fasting, we already referenced that there's good health benefits to that. So it's good for us that we do these things, and intrinsically we know we should. But yet, even then, God says, I'm not going to stop there, but I'm going to give you rewards in heaven. And so listen to me. As you give of your time, your talent, and your treasure, And you put them in to love God and love people, do you know you're actually investing in your future? Because Jesus, he didn't have to do this, but he says, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to give you a reward in eternity. But here's the reality is we just got no framework for eternity anymore, do we? Like, I'll share with you, do you know, you remember the movie Titanic? Is released back in 1997, and it was directed by James Cameron. And you know that Cameron, the historicity of the film was not correct, that he changed a few things. And one of those things was the scene as the Titanic was going down and there was just disarray and stuff. He actually made it look like that there was like class warfare where the rich people weren't letting the poor people get on the boats. That wasn't true. That didn't happen. That the police, the arm, they had armed guards on the boat. Again, not true. And then they had to shoot them off in the air to say, women and children first, women and children first. That wasn't an issue. Women and children did go first because the men sacrificed. And they asked Cameron, why did you film it that way? And he says, the reason being, he goes, people today wouldn't believe that others would sacrifice their today for their tomorrow. See, 100 years ago, when the Titanic sank, there was this realization, man, that there is something after, that there is a life after this life. But our mantra today is what? YOLO, you only live once, right? Well, the Bible says this. No, it's actually YOLT. maybe it doesn't sound as cool, YOLT, but actually you only live twice. And the Bible is clear on this, that the author of Hebrews says that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Let's pray. You know, this morning I have a burden to pray for two types of people. And the first one is this, is, man, if you don't know Jesus this morning, listen, first of all, don't you think it's odd you're watching this broadcast right now? Like God is chasing you, man. There's no such thing as accidents, but God is actively pursuing you. And listen, you only live twice. You live once here, and then afterwards, you're going to live in eternity separated from God and everything that's good, or you're going to live a life where you're eternally tethered to God Almighty and everything that's beautiful, good, and right. See, you live twice, and you have this opportunity right now to receive Jesus into your life. And you just pray this simple prayer. God hears it. And if you want to just repeat after me, or maybe you just put amen in the chat box, and it means so be it. And if you're watching by YouTube, man, just whisper amen to God. And so just repeat after me. Jesus, I just declare I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Come into my heart. Be my Savior and be my Lord, that I might spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, I sure want to hear from you. And here's the second person I want to pray for this morning. I have this heavy burden for those of us that man, it seems like after our quiet time, you're a Christian, you read the word, you go to church, you're a part of a connect group, small group, but yet when you get out in your day-to-day life, it's like you become untethered from God. You don't realize that all of life is worship and that God is near and He's the God who sees. And I want to pray for you this morning. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, for those that are struggling, Lord, I want to feel you and sense you, not just at church or in my connect group, but in my home, God, in my work. Lord, I just want my life to be worship to you. Father, I thank you that you hear the prayers and the cries of men and women's heart this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you that you give them eyes to see and a newfound understanding of your presence wherever they go. Whatever they do heartily as for you and not for men. And so, listen, the sermon's over with, but we're not quite finished. I want to remind you that if you need prayer or ministry, or maybe you just have questions about Every Nation New Jersey, that we have a virtual Zoom ministry, that there's going to be a pastor, staff member available via Zoom. The number should be coming up on your screen, and we'll be there at 11 a.m. To pray for you and to listen to you and answer any questions you might have. And as well, I want to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. I love the fact that in Matthew chapter 6, the text we read today, it says this, that God, He sees your giving. God sees your giving. And for some of us, that's great news because God sees it. And He says that as you bring the tithe simply means the tenth, the promise of Almighty God, He says, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a great blessing for you. And so there's three ways you can give virtually. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. My family and I, we give this way. And if you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's an unbelievably convenient way to give. Or you can mail your tithe or check or offering to our church right here at 101 Gibraltar Drive in Morris Plains, New Jersey. May God bless you as you give. One last thing to mention, if you're watching us via Facebook, would you just really help us by hitting the like? Would you like us on Facebook? And then a special ask here. We've been newly getting onto our YouTube chip channel, and we've reached a threshold that if we just need a few more, that it'll change the status for our church on YouTube. And so if you could subscribe to our YouTube channel, that would be a game changer for us. And so listen, God bless you. God loves you. I think you're pretty amazing as well. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.